For a number of years, Father also traveled to San Diego to provide for the faithful there until another priest was able to assume the duties of pastor. Over the past several years, Father Ephraim has spoken at our family conference on topics of current interest to Catholics. Things he has made us aware of that usually seem to be things that come up that sideswipe us. I know for me, personally, I have learned quite a bit of the modern topics that we should be aware of and how to avoid them and what to look for. For this conference, Father will be talking about addiction, which is addiction in our modern society, a plague of our modern society. So without further ado, I'd like to please ask you to welcome Father Ephraim Cordova to the lectern.
Can you hear me? Okay. Our topic today is obviously what you see on as Father announced, the addiction in our modern society. I myself, when I got into this study about addiction and the use of drugs, and especially in America, I wanted to see why is it that sometimes people have different attractions for different things, because what happens is when you study this topic, it is so vast because there are so many people addicted to so many different things that you just can't focus on one thing. But basically, as I mentioned here, is that it's difficult when you look at modern society and you try to read about addiction and people that have alcoholism or whatever be the case. No one ever wants to use the model of Genesis as the explanation for the cause of our addictions, because everybody is imbued with evolution and thinking that we're just simply products of chance and everything. And they don't realize, or they don't want to believe, that a lot of the things that occur to us, obviously in our daily lives, are the effects of original sin. And so what happens in studying this, you don't find anybody. Everybody talks about we have a defect, but no one wants to explain why. And that's what I want to find out in my journey on this, is that what is addiction? Basically, addiction is, in a small word, is basically pleasure unwoven. What happens is that obviously when our first parents... We had our parents, Adam and Eve. They were the first dysfunctional family. What happens is that we have to remember, is a lot of people will say, well, people have addictions. Many of them to escape either bad memories or to advance their own pleasure. But what happens is, well, a lot of people, if I've come in contact with my priests, will say, well, my mom was this way, my dad was this way. But we have to take it back to the original dysfunctional family, which is Adam and Eve. So when you think about this idea of the dysfunctional family, we think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and there they were happy, they were God-centered, and they were all focused on. There was no rebellion between the spirit and the flesh. Pleasure was under the control of reason. It was God and them, who obviously, by the grace of the original innocence they had, the preternatural gifts that they call them, that they were able to be in control of pleasure. But what happens is that the serpent, obviously, the serpent said, no, you shall not die the death. For God knoweth in what day whatsoever you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. And when you look at our people and the various states of history that come, and even our present status as Catholics, as traditional Catholics surviving in this modern world, what we find is this is continually reiterated again in society. You shall be as gods. What is the power that as God is life and death? We see how man has carried this premise to the fact that now they can exterminate a life in the womb in an abortion. You shall be as gods. What happens is that with addiction, in one sense, that person becomes the god or the king of their slavery. which is that you shall be as gods. So we see this idea of that comes in Genesis. And the woman saw that the tree was good to eat and fair to the eyes, and behold, and the eyes of them were open, and she did eat and gave to her husband who did eat. So we see that this idea of attraction is something that we have because of our senses. We everything that we see comes through our eyes. Everything that we hear comes through our ears. Now, obviously, they disobeyed Almighty God. So we see the first dysfunctional family in complete rebellion to Almighty God and chased out of the Garden of Eden. Now, and the Lord God called Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in paradise and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And then we see where Adam says, and God, and he said to him, "What? And who hath told thee that thou wast naked? But thou hast eaten of the tree, I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat." And Adam said, "The woman who thou gavest to me, my companion, gave me to eat, and I did eat." And the Lord God said to the woman, "Why didst thou eat this?" And she answered, "The serpent deceived me, and I did eat." So we see this idea of the fact that in our genes, in our blood, we have the makeup of always having excuses for our faults, our defects, and especially our addictions. This is one of the characteristics that has come down to us from all generations that has come down. Now we see the second sin, if you look at the Bible, of this dysfunctional family was the sin of murder. We think about our families. There's not too many families that we have that brother has killed brother. But this was supposed to be the model family, the first family. And here he is, king. He was upset that God accepted the sacrifice of Abel. And we installed that Cain, he was slain. Now, what are the characteristics I mentioned? First of all, excuses and denial. People don't want to admit the truth because what happens is that we talk about truth. We have the facts, and we know there are in this existence facts. Our acknowledgement of those facts is what we call the truth. We see something, and we say, that is the table. And our acknowledgement of it is, that is a table, because that is the truth. We know we could see ourselves in the light of the facts. And that's what happens with addiction, is that many times people see themselves having a certain inclination towards something, but they don't want to admit it, and they go into excuses and denials. And this is part of the heritage that we receive from Adam and Eve. Now also, what happens is that when you talk about addiction, you have to include the capital sins, because what happens is that some addictions occur because of the capital sins. Obviously, avarice, the love of money, lust, the love of flesh pleasure, anger, the love of revenge, gluttony, the love of drink, envy, the jealousy that someone has more than you do, a covetous desire, and then sloth, because people get lazy and enjoy the pleasure. Now we see what God Almighty did once he got tired of this family that was completely dysfunctional, that he got completely rid of them and one family. Now, even though we had this one family, they have left us with this truth that we have to deal with pain in this world and pleasure. Now, one of the reasons, this is my own deduction, my own thing, is that one of the reasons that as traditional Catholics, we have a hard time keeping people to go to the Latin Mass and to go to a Mass that's very quiet and very serious is because they've been so trained not to accept that. They've had themselves, what happens is they go to Mass, many people like traditional Mass, and they feel pain because of the fact that they don't believe that God's there. And therefore, they give into pleasure. An example of this would be if you read the book From Slave to Priest. There was a black priest named Father Tolton. And what he had to do, he had a parish in Chicago. He was a black priest, the first black priest in America. But he had a hard time keeping the black folk in his parish because there was Protestant groups that had all kinds of music and tambourines, and they would have all this social stuff. And he had a lot of hard time trying to get his Catholics to stay true to the true Mass, instead of going to the Methodist or the Baptist and things. So we see this taking place within our own situation. Now I'm gonna highlight this book only because of the fact that I'm gonna try to connect them all. So you'll see what I mean when I get done with the talk. This book is one of the books I came across with, and it was a very interesting book. And the reason I got into study of it was because I was studying about microwaves and how they affect water. And what happened was this Dr. Emoto, what he did was he would take waters from various parts of the world, and he would freeze the water in a petri dish, and then after he would freeze the water, it would come out with a beautiful crystal. Now, whenever he microwaved the water, it never came out as a crystal. It came out like a blob. And then so what he started to do is he started to take his experiment further. He looked at water, and then he put it into various tap waters from various cities, and he would try to see if he can get a crystal, and he got none. But then he would try water from various places like natural springs and everything, and he would get beautiful, beautiful crystals. Now, to carry it even further, what he did to try his experiment, this is all scientific because, you know, he would basically get the water, freeze it, and get the crystals. And the peculiar part about it was he decided, I'm going to take this experiment a little further. I'm going to write the word love on a bottle or on a paper and attach it to the bottle. And what he did was when he put the word love on the bottle, beautiful, beautiful crystals came out. But when he put the word Satan or you idiot or you fool, he never got crystals. In other words, what happened was the vibe of that writing, whether it be love or hate or whatever vibe was on that you idiot, was manifested in the water. And even he went further to this. He got an experiment and he got the music from Argentina, because we got Argentinian priests. The music of Argentina, the tango. And he got the speakers and he put the water right in the middle of the speakers and he put the tango, and sort of to his surprise, he got two crystals, because it was two people dancing. And so what happened was, and I started to read that, I thought, you know, that's fascinating, because what happens is that if you can put the word Satan on a bottle of water, and that water has negativity to it, how much we as individual persons made of 70%, 75% water, remember, when we see things, the eyeball is a thing of water. Our eardrum has water in it. It's what hits the eardrum, and it comes through water, and we hear the senses. Those senses are created with water. So you can imagine someone, an individual who has a certain addiction that's always vibing lust because of their own troubles and difficulties. Their vibingness, it's very difficult to clean that water, because as we listen to things, just like imagine these individuals. I remember one I was looking at when I started to think about this more deeply. I thought, wow, you know, there's people that put like Satan on tattoos, and now I realize why Almighty God forbade the chosen people to put tattoos on their persons, because whatever word you put on there, that's what's going to vibe in you. In other words, if someone puts a Satan on themselves, well, guess what? They're going to have that. So what happens is, in our modern societies, if you look at that, I'm going to try to tie it in as I go on, that this thing sort of fascinated me about sound affected water, things that we see affected water, and he even took it even further. He's got photographs like of a sunset or a sunrise. He put it on the outside of the bottle of the water, froze it, and got a crystal that looked like a sunshine in the middle. It was peculiar. It was the weirdest, I was fascinated by it. So, but what happened was it started to take me to the idea that we every day have this capacity that things affect us. Now, when we talk about various addictions, there are thousands of addictions. There are people that are addicted to buying and to shopping. There are people addicted to pharmaceuticals, which we have today is the biggest addiction. We have the addiction to where we have video games, celebrities. Some people are always watching different movie stars and everything. And then we have those individuals to the pleasure of the sex, flush, bloodlusters, addicted to crime. There's all kinds of individual addictions. So there's no way to just say you have an addiction just to classify, because there's different kinds as there are different kinds of people. Now what happens was this book I read was a book by Roy Masters. And what I tried to do is try to read that, because what happens is that as I go around and I talk to different people, you'll start to notice that everybody sort of has the same response to the same stimuli. In other words, everybody seems to have a certain way that they answer, and it seems to be everybody seems to do it. And I tried to figure out, why is it that I get this, you know, when you talk to people or you visit, they have this response, like an example, anger. If a person happens to get angry, they sort of cuss and swear like they heard it on the video or the movies or things they watch. And what Roy Masters did is said, for the happening, he did an experiment, and I'm going to try to tie this into. He did an experiment, and he had some people that he hypnotized, and he got the person, and he said, hey, I want you, he got him hypnotized, and he put him to sleep, and he said, when I touch my tie, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to put your shoes backwards. In other words, I want you to put the, let me get this right, the right foot on the left foot, so that basically the toes are pointing outward. When I touch my tie, so I'm gonna count to three, you're going to wake up, and then I'm going to touch you, and you're going to put your shoes backwards. So he awoke. He put his shoes on backwards. He touched his tie first, and the man just had an urging to touch his tie, to change his shoes, and he did that. Now, here he is on the stage, and he puts on his shoes, and the toes are aiming backwards. And he's saying to the man, why did you do that? And he goes, because you told me to. But look at everybody there. They have their toes going inward. And you know, instead what he did, he said, well, you know what? They're wrong. I'm right. And so what happened, this man that he was hypnotizing couldn't get out of that. And that's what happens with us as we get tranced into this world of so much input that all a person needs to do is trigger. And a person doesn't even know why they do or say something things because we've been so triggered in our modern culture by the input of movies, the all kinds of shows that we watch and everything. And then remember, like I mentioned about Dr. Emoto, all this negative vibe that we received in our hearts. So I wanted to preface with this on that idea. Now, what occurs is that many people, and this is where I'll get into this, is they in our culture, they go from waking up, they turn on the television. And then they go from the television, they go into the car, they turn on music. And so, for the most part, my deduction is a lot of our people, Catholics as well as Americans, are in a state of continual trance. We go from watching the TV, and we're in the trance of the TV, they're telling us everything that we should believe or we should do. Then we turn on our radios, and then we listen to the music. And then what happens is that people don't try to accept the fact that the reason that they have different occasions of sin is because they've injected into their minds music that try to promote that. Now, this is the song Dream Girls. Now, this is a song. If you imagine a young boy about to go to sleep before he goes off to bed, that song is an invitation for solitary sin. That's what it is, because it's saying, we're your dream girls. We give you everything you need. And now all that comes apart, the fact that it's people listen to it and they wonder why I can't overcome the sin of addiction of the flesh, or I can't overcome the addiction of drinking, and I can't understand why I can't overcome the addiction of anger, or I can't understand. And what happens is that, like Dr. Emoto says, in order to be able to cleanse the bad water, you have to put in clean water. And you have to cleanse the system of, in other words, if we've been listening all our life to music and bad things, the only way to undo that is to listen to good music and good things and watch good things. It's like cleansing oneself of this. So we see this, that what happens is this. I put this out because in our brains, what occurs is that most addiction, when you talk about addiction, now they have these MRIs and they can tell exactly where the addiction occurs. This book, and I think I brought it out last a couple of times before, is called Thought Particles. And it corresponds to the music we listen to, whatever it is, any kind of music, it bypasses the frontal cortex. Now, this front part of your brain is the part of your brain that makes all the decisions. It makes the decisions, but the mid part of your brain is the part of the brain that loves pleasure. And so many times we see within our thing that this music is the only thing that can penetrate through the frontal cortex right into the midbrain. And so we see people addicted to modern music simply because they don't want to get out of the trance. Now, when we talk about this idea of addiction, what they do is they talk about it in the modern sense as being a disease, and it is. We see when we talk about disease, we talk about an organ having defect, and then we have the organ, like having a organ, then we see a defect, and then we have the systems. We have what we call the cause of this. This is the modern way of medicine now. So we have an example here, the femur. It's fractured. And so we see pain, deformity, disability. So we correct what we need to do in order to not have pain, deformity, disability. Now, what happens is the same thing with diabetes. The pancreas is the object there that is not performing. It performs no insulin, and then we have blindness, wounds, numbness, etc. And so we see this. What happens is with addictions, especially with regards to drug addictions, people will say, well, what organ's being attacked? In other words, what is it that causes a person to be addicted in such a way? And what is the defect? And it seems like the result is badness. Because many times if you've dealt with persons that are addicted to different drugs or person addicted to alcohol, you get a lot of badness. And people are saying, wait a minute, badness is not like a sign of disease. Badness is a choice. So we see that right there is a picture of the midbrain. And what it does is when you get a pleasure, whatever pleasure it be, it connects right into that middle part of the brain and goes to the frontal cortex. That, when you think about that, yes, they have been able to examine the brain and see what it does. What happens is that pleasure pleases us. Whether you look at any of the addictions, whether it be gambling, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, everything of those is cause pleasure. Now what happens, the line is crossed, we have someone who is non-addict to become an addict. And I'll give you an example. Sometimes parents want to be cute, and they'll say to their child who's 3 years old, they'll say, hey, let's have a picture of him drinking a beer. And this little boy, 3 years old, drinks a beer, a little taste of beer, and all the parents are going, oh, isn't that cute? But what happens is that boy happens to have a weakness in his midbrain to alcohol. So from that point on, at 3 years old, he was addicted to that pleasure of drinking. His parents had booze and alcohol there. He was sneaking it from the time he was 3 years old. But it was the parents' fault for introducing it to him. But because he enjoyed the pleasure so much, he eventually became an addict trying to do that. Now we see the midbrain is the pleasure place, that you might say the faulty part of the brain that is, the part that's weak, you might say. It's stress-induced hedonic dysfunction. In other words, we love pleasure, and that's what it is. So what it results in is addiction. These are the signs of addiction. Loss of control, a craving. Now remember, a craving is a great desire, an intense desire for something. And it's more, you might say, stronger than just regular desire, because desire is something spiritual. When it gets into craving, it gets into something physical as well, because all the chemicals come to light when a person is addicted to something. And then persistent use despite the consequences. So that's what happens a lot with different addictions. Now, the symptoms of addiction, like I mentioned, loss of control, persistent drug use and things. And this could be applied to everything. Now, there was an experiment done. And what they did with these experiments is this gentleman, a professor, did these mice. And what the mice did was they were giving a little treat or a pleasure, or in some cases they were giving a little dose of drugs or in their person, if they touched this switch. And so what happened was these mice would be touching the switch because they go click, and they get a little pleasure or a little treat. And click, and they get another treat. And they get click, the treat, click, 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 click. So it got to the point that the mouse neither ate nor drank, did anything. He didn't do anything except do these clicks until he was very well satisfied. And we see how our modern society is the same way. What happens is that we've been trained with the computer, with the remote. We've been all trained with click, 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 and it carries on in us. And so what happens, we're like these mice, whether it be with the video console, or it could be with the remote, it could be with your computer, we're clicking on the mouse. We see the same tendency, the mice. We're sort of like mice on a road to death. Now, what happens when you talk about addiction, remember, because we're all affected with the original sin, some of us have within us strong breaks. There are some of us can say, nah, you can drink. Some of us can have a drink of alcohol or a beer and not become an addict. Some people do and some people don't. Some people have what we might say like a car. If you have a car and has good brakes, you're going to stop. But if you have a car and has weak brakes, you're not going to stop, because you're the way God made you with this certain weakness. But that's inherent in every of the sons of Adam and Eve. So we see that's the main cause, is that the fact that we have within us the disease given to us by Adam and Eve in this regard. Now, the main thing that is transferred, whether you smoke, whether you take alcohol, that is the drug, that is the pleasure. Now, that's what I mean about the craving, because it's not simply desire, it is also something physical that takes place in our person. Our person enjoys things, and just an example would be just like if you ate a cookie that your mother gave you many, many years ago, and then someone gave you the exact same cookie later on in the future, maybe 20 years, what happens when you ate that cookie, you would go back to the memories of your childhood when you were eating those delicious cookies, because it's what happens is we're connected spiritually and also body and soul within our person. So we see that, again, we have the various causes of things. Now, I'm going to go into this idea of drugs, and especially in today's age. When I started studying the idea of drugs, what occurred was you run into this idea that it's one of the health issues of our country. So there are many, many books. When you go down Amazon, I just started copying pictures and putting them up there. I didn't realize there's that many books on addiction to drugs. I'm like, wow, there's opiate addiction. There's all kinds of addictions. And even now, alcohol is obviously considered a drug. We have any individuals who are addicted to this, and they can't seem to find themselves loose from it. Now, what I started to ask myself is, why is it the United States, of all places, has the highest drug rate of all civilized nations? No one beats the U.S. for drugs. We're number one in drugs. Pharmaceutical drugs, illegal drugs, everything is done that way. Now, what happened was, the U.S. government has been collecting data on the war on drugs and already knows that an estimated $1 trillion has been spent on trying to get rid of drugs. Remember, in 1971, what happened was President Nixon at that time introduced the Drug Enforcement Agency, and what occurred was they had this government department that would all they'd do is fight on drugs, and he founded that, and so they spent it. And what happens is each year the United States spends about $20 billion on drugs. Now, the United Nations Office on Drugs estimates that the global drug trade is worth $320 billion. Now, this is my hypothesis, okay? So you can throw it away if you want. My hypothesis is that one of the reasons the United States economy has not died is because of drugs. No one trades drugs in euros. No one trades drugs in any other cash except U.S. cash. One of the reasons, if you study, you look at Afghanistan, we have 700 military bases in Afghanistan. Afghanistan produces 90% of the opium of the world. Who do you think runs the world's opium? It has to be the United States, because they're in charge of that. So what happens is, as you start reading these things, you start realizing that the United States government, because as you get this in this situation, you start realizing that we've been in a culture that has given it. Now, what happened, and I'm not trying to promote that, I'm just saying, in 2001, Portugal decriminalized all drugs and focused on anti-drug efforts of public health and safety. What they started to do is I started to consider drugs as a disease. So what they did is, if you got caught on your person with marijuana or heroin or cocaine or PCP or whatever you did, they put you in front of this persuasion board and they say, hey, we know you're on drugs, and would you like to give you counseling? And they wouldn't put him in jail. And so what happened, and I'll get into this, and since they did this, what happens is that the number of people in drug treatment has doubled. In other words, more people are coming now for help to escape their drug habit. Teen drug use is down, and the marijuana rates are the lowest in the European nation, which means that in Portugal, they decriminalized it. What happened, remember this thing about pride? What happened is, in Portugal, they just simply said, we're not going to put you in jail if you have drugs. So what happened was, they took away the forbidden fruit syndrome, because a lot of people take it because they said, oh, I want to be cool, I want to be part of the group, I want to make sure I'm being with everybody. They took away the excitement of having to take drugs. So instead of the place like Portugal being a haven for drugs, it became it dropped. They have some of the lowest drug levels in all the world. Because what happens, that forbidden fruit syndrome, remember Adam and Eve, they see that it's good to take and they would want a piece of that. And we see that the exact opposite occurred. Because see, everything plays into addiction. Pride with excuses and denials. Lust because of the rebellion of the flesh. All these sins we have to fight against within our person. Now, obviously, the king of the addictions, which I consider, is glued to the tube. What happened is that when I woke up in society, it was about 1963. And I remember at that time, we had black and white television. And it was just a real neat thing because you could see the news. And at that time, I remember those. And so what occurred, I remember back in those days because as I advanced in that era of time, when 1963, I remember my mom crying when Kennedy got killed and assassinated. I just remember just very faintly just people very sad that day on the day that he was killed. And then what happened, remember, we graduated from black and white TVs to now color TV. We got color TV. And then person graduated from color TV to color TV with remote. And then we went from color TV to bigger TVs. And so what happened was it got a person, before I knew it as an individual, I liked watching TV because I've always done it. And so I find myself in trying to say, well, wait a minute, is there something that it brings you? Because if you walk into a home, any of you, I bet you, first thing, click, TV. I see what's going on. I don't think there's anyone that can say, because we've been so accustomed to it, it's in our person, and especially my generation, those that are, I was born in 59, so when Vatican II and the Novus Ordo came in, it was 1969, I was about 10 years old. So we see how this happened. Remember, even the computer age, when I got into computers in 1990, I was still on DOS. And remember how you had 20 megabyte hard drives? You're thinking, oh, 20 megabyte hard drives. And then you graduated to 60 megabyte hard drives. And then you thought, oh, then Windows 95 came out. You said, oh, we can now graduate to 120 megabyte hard drives. And all of a sudden they got you, before you know it, you were just buying new computers. And I had to have the computer because I need to do these things here. And you found yourself with that. And so what occurred was, as we went to each step, it just got us more involved and more hooked. Before you know it, you were there. So we see this individual book here, Remotely Controlled, How TV Television Damaging Our Lives. You can go to the Circle K, get a $1 rental, just bring it back. So people are like, wow, great, it's $1. So we see individual people that, and then they, but what happens in this regard to the television is where the thing of pride kicks in. Because we get into denial. We get into excuses. We get to, it's time to pray the rosary. Oh, I've got to wash my show first. We can see, but what happens is with our Catholics is they make excuses to deny the fact that, yes, this is their number one addiction for almost everybody in the U.S. Now, in video games, when I started to study this aspect on video games, I myself was not of the generation that was of video games. Now, almost all the individuals who will study addiction will tell you that almost all addictions occur between the age of 12 and 30. Most people don't get an addiction after 30 years of age. Most people. That's just for the general part. Because usually people are already engrossed in their addictions. And they get stuck. But I was not brought up in the generation. When I was in the seminary in 1977, back when I entered, there wasn't even video games back then. I don't remember things. I was basically in the seminary during the 80s, and I think that was the video game explosion. So I was never part of that world, in a sense, because when you go into these different worlds, whether it be the television world, the drug world, everybody has this world. Remember the thing I said about Genesis, you shall be as gods. You become in charge of a slave to your own world. Not living in God's world, but in your own ego and self-centeredness, because that's what happened with all of us in our daily life. Now, what happened is people, we see the individuals being, now, what we see, they have a picture there of girls. Now girls are some of the biggest video gamers because they're very good with their fingers and they can move fast. So it's not simply an addiction just of boys, but now of girls. And we see individuals addicted to the internet and then the video game situation. And now many times what will happen will be a person will get on video games. They'll be sometimes 50 hours a week. They won't sleep. They won't even use the bathroom. Because if they use the bathroom, they'll be in the middle of a fight scene. And if they stop it, well, you lose the fight. So they will even hold the bathroom and cause themselves all kinds of health issues because they're so addicted to this game. And what happens, a lot of our parents in this generation, I say Catholic, even traditional Catholic parents, in order to have their kid in the house, what they will do is they will put them in front of a video game, and guess what? kid's hooked. He's there all day, and the parents know, well, he's at home, but he just veges, becomes an addict, and then can't get out of the video game scenario, and then whether it be the internet or other addictions. Now, pornography has all kinds of issues to it because of the fact of the flesh, being individuals, having a fallen human nature, we're prone to the pleasure of the flesh. So we see that there are many books on this idea. Now, the average age of the first internet exposure to pornography is 11 years old. And that's why we have to remind our parents of the fact that you have to be vigilant to make sure that you know what's on those flash drives, those hard drives, everything that comes through, that you can't be negligent in this part. 9 out of 10 children ages 8 to 16 have watched pornography on that. Now, there was a study done, I think it was the University of Virginia or something. They wanted to find a study of individuals who, about pornography, and those individuals who had not watched pornography, they couldn't find one person who had not watched pornography. They couldn't do the test. The test was impossible to do because everybody had watched pornography. Now, the 12 to 17 age group is the largest consumer of internet pornography. And we see this individual kid there, addicted. We have books of our nation. We're the number one in pornography. America produces more pornography than anybody else. And the person finds themselves, as we see that picture, addicted, a slave. Now, it's not only a man's problem. It's a girl's problem, too. There are individuals that have that propensity. Obviously, all of us, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we have a difficulty controlling the use of pleasure. The use of pleasure is hard for us because of our fallen human nature, but we see that that is a sin also of others. And they have a Christian Woman's Guide to Breaking from Pornography, and we see that pornography is the main cause of a lot of breakups in marriages because of this situation, and we see the internet there. Now, social networking, I'm going to point out, I don't have a Facebook, I don't have Twitter, so I don't worry about that. So I just know that in the reading, one of the main characteristics about Facebook and people that are hooked is that the main sin that comes around with the sin or the use of Facebook is envy. Many individuals have studied the idea that people try to outdo each other on Facebook as regards to what they do, how they do it, what vacations they've taken. And it becomes a very serious game of pride because you're better than the other person because you've been to more places and you're showing on your Facebook how much better you are. And Facebook addiction, person logs off the computer, leave the house, get in your car, and log back on using your phone. So we see individuals that are addicted to this, obsessed with Facebook. As of 2011, there are 500 million active Facebook users. Approximately 1 in every 13 people on Earth, half of them are logged on at any given day. 48% of the 18 to 34-year-olds check with Facebook right when they wake up. About 28% check their Facebook on their smartphones before getting out of bed. So we see that the addiction, person gets a certain dopamine rise because they're like, ooh, what is this person doing? We get pleasure from being curious. Even that gives us a little pleasure. So we see that as fallen human nature, we're addicted, and especially this generation, to pleasure. And then we just had this guy, I just joined Facebook, so he's going to be a very sad boy. Then another of the addictions is food. Now, what happens is in food, obviously, is we take pleasure in eating because God gave that pleasure to us to enjoy so that we preserve the body. But what in our society, since there's such a void spiritually, the eating habit becomes a way to fill in that void. And that's a real sign of that they need to be spiritually on with God. And we see that one of the addictions, obviously, is addicted to food. There's the hunger fix that we have. And the sugar wars. Sugar is known. There's some people that can't live without sugar. But it's like I told you, that 1 3-year-old boy, once he touched that little liquor, if the parents had just said, no, you don't get to drink till you're 21, he never probably would have been addicted. But because as young in people, we give sugar to our children, pretty soon they can't drink or eat anything unless it has sugar. But only because we have trained them as parents, as individuals. I'm not saying evil about it. I'm just saying some people can't control. It's just hard for them to control this use of food and addiction. And one, like I said, we fill in the void of that. Now, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are tended to supplications. What happened is that, remember, if you recall the Fatima message, the Fatima children, were just in little diversions. I think they were playing some games or when they were out there, when the angel came up to them and said, "The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attended to your supplications." What the angel was saying, in one sense, was saying, you're focusing more on playing than praying. You should be, since they received many gifts, so I think the gift, they had other apparitions before this one came, and we see that they, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are attended to supplications. Do you imagine a person, if they prayed the amount of rosaries that they do watching Facebook, how holy that person would be? Can you imagine the amount of time, if you the hours you spend in front of the television, you've prayed or read spiritual reading? So what happens is the facts, as we look at them, we can recognize, because we could introvert ourselves. We could say, hey, I spend 10 hours a day on television, but then I can't spend 15 minutes a day for 5 decades of the rosary. The mind goes into, obviously, the idea that, wait a minute, that means that I'm addicted then to my television, my video games, my internet, and I'm not yet devoted to my holy rosary. Now, what happens when people have pain, especially trauma as a young individual, what we have a tendency to do is to escape. And so what I try to tell people is the rosary is the perfect anti-hypnotic. It brings us back to reality, because as we go into our culture and we go out to the world and we get the vibes of, you know, lust on billboards, and we get vibes every place. Remember one of the things that Dr. Emoto said, that just the human body itself in vibrations vibrates 570 million times a second. So imagine all this negative vibes you're getting, and how you have to admit that lots of things, lots of trash go into your mind, whether it be on the radio, whether it be on the television, whether it be billboards, with your friends, all this stuff starts to coalesce. And people, instead of trying to go to reality and say, listen, we need to pray, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are tender to your supplications, what happens is a person goes away from God. And therefore, they don't find the strength to overcome their addictions. And that's their key component of that situation, where our Lord said, where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also. The object, you might say, of the devil, at least maybe primary object, is to make sure that we desire things outside of God. If he could get you to desire things that God does not want you to have, then he's won the victory, because he's got you. Remember, our Lord said, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. He is therefore captured in this habit, this desire. And the only thing his desire, that's what happens, is that people in our traditional Catholics, they wonder why they can't move forward in the spiritual life. And the reason is their desires. What do you desire? What do you want? What do you live for? Who do you live for? And we find a lot of us is we live for ourselves, and we desire things outside of God. We desire to be slothful and lazy. We've been trained on it for many years. We desire the sins of the flesh. We desire things. And what happens, those desires don't only become desires, they become cravings, because they are attached to our physical person. And from cravings, it goes into addiction, to the point that a person is no longer free to be able to say, look at themselves. Now, what occurs is that once a person comes to the realization of addiction, that they're addicted to a certain mode of life, that's where the truth comes in. But they need the supernatural grace, of, especially in the rosary. And that's why I tell people, don't look at the rosary as a punishment. Look at it as an escape, in a sense. We're going to the mysteries of God, these beautiful, beautiful mysteries that of the Annunciation. We think about the goodness of Almighty God coming down upon earth. We think about the goodness of the Visitation, the goodness of the Nativity. Those mysteries come back. And remember, like I told you with Dr. Emoto, what we do is we need to be able to ask God for help, obviously, through Our Lady. And we need to pour in clean water. Like, remember how I mentioned, if we've been accustomed to putting in filthy water, whether it be PG movies or whether it be music or whether it be internet or addictions, we need to wash it. Now, obviously, the what I always emphasize is obviously the rosary. But what happens is that when we go to confession, spiritual water from the side of Christ cleanses our souls to give us that spiritual strength to say no to our addictions, to say yes to God. Now remember, when we talk about Christ, when he died on the cross, that St. John reminds us that blood and water flowed from him. So it is obviously a matter of faith that when we receive Christ, not only do we receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, but we receive also the precious water that came from his side into our hearts. And then what happens with our traditional Catholics, instead of acknowledging the fact that I'm weak, I need to cleanse the filthy water from my soul, I need to purify it, what they do is they stay away from God, especially in Holy Communion, and the water no longer is there to cleanse them. And so this is what we need as Catholics, to cleanse ourselves in the saving waters of grace of God, which we receive through the sacraments. And we have to persevere, because no one can overcome an addiction or a craving unless they persevere. And this is where the devil is the most difficult, because he weakens us. Your person will look at their addiction and say, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. And then what you have to do is say, I'm going to persevere with my prayers. I'm going to persevere with my sacraments, because if the devil can knock your desire down, then obviously he wins. And then we aim, obviously, for the truth, that we ask Almighty God the strength that no object of this world may enslave us, that we will be truly slaves of Christ, and that we will love him with all our hearts. Thank you, Father and Son.